Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT Crew.
Whoa.
SRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on?
Okay.
Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick.
See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money.
Mayweather
strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe that. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And it is Thanksgiving Eve. Happy Thanksgiving to all you all who are tuning in, listening to the hottest sports show on radio, where sports and entertainment meets. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And I got the crew in here with me tonight, sports superhero Hancock, and my main man, D-Will, as Alabama continues to be number one.
Yep.
D-Will, the coach, is in the building. And of course, I got the man behind the glass dropping them beats, G-Money.
Yo.
And it's a full house in here tonight. Sadly to say, Austin Peay got shafted. They go 8-1 in the conference and don't get a playoff berth. Ha. Pretty sad. Want to join the show? Give us a call, 404-603-8770. Got a lot going on tonight on this Thanksgiving Eve. We got my main man, DW, calling in around 7:30 with the Falcons report. And, of course, we got some hot news coming up here in about maybe 2 or 3 minutes. Then we got Slick Money, the Rain Man, calling in with his weekly picks. And I think the crew, we went 0-4 last week.
It's time for that Tebow speech, man.
We won't lose another game all year.
All year.
Woo, boy, I hope Slick Money did better than we did. Because, woo. Marshall had a chance to win, though. They just. I'm going big this week, D-Will. So
I doubt it.
I'm going big this week, so it is what it is.
You take it, Slippery Rock.
Hey, Stony Brook.
Before we move forward, man, OKC, Golden State playing tonight. Your thoughts on the game? What you expect?
I expect Russell to go hard tonight. I think he throws away that trying to get everybody else involved and go be Russ, which is what I think he needs to do anyway. Tell everybody, look, I'm about to go, and come on, get with me. Stop trying to do these things. I got some stats on why. Some things is happening, just in case we go over that, because I can see what the problem is myself.
Well, we'll make sure we get to that.
Yeah, let's get to that.
D-Will, your thoughts on the game tonight? I know we go dash up out of here and try to go check it out.
It should be an interesting game. I believe the luster of Russ versus KD, I think that's died off. I don't believe it's going to be – the crowd's not going to come after KD like they did last time.
No cupcakes. Okay.
He can show them jewelry.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Jewelry what? Trump's cupcakes.
All day long. And, of course, we got our roundtable discussion. We're going to talk about college football. We go jump around in our roundtable discussion. Definitely go talk about a lot of different things that's going on around the world in sports. So, again, follow us on social media at SRT Radio if you are technically savvy. And please go to srtradio.com to the website. Click Listen Live. You can listen to us live on that station. And you can also listen to us on iHeartRadio. With all that being said, G, let's go ahead and get this thing started. It's time for some hot news.
Scorching. Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by our good friends over at the Big Easy Grill. Thanks for all those who came out this past Saturday. We had a ball at the Big Easy Grill, man. I tell you, the best New Orleans seafood in town, 1193 Collier Road. If you want to taste some good old shrimp, shrimp po' boy, crab claws, please go on over to the Big Easy Grill, BigEasyGrill.com. You can check out the menu. All right, Han, the first question of the night for the hot news. Cowboys 0-2 without Zeke. They 5-5. He's sitting for the next four games as he is out of the country. Him and Ricky Williams.
Smoke weed every day.
Your thoughts on the rest of the season for the Cowboys?
Cowboys may be done, man. I mean, it's some wins that are possible left on the schedule, but you know, life without Zeke is not what Dak has been claiming they would be. Nothing would change, you know. And when he was saying this type of thing, I know some of it was kind of for, you know, the morale of the team, but it was kind of a false bravado that I took it as, you know. It shows how important Zeke is and the left tackle, actually. Both of those guys, as we can attest to.
That's more important.
Yeah, he's definitely important. But the thing that Zeke does is he'll turn a two-yard gain into a 4 or 5-yard gain, which keeps you ahead of the chains. You don't have that aspect or that element in the backfield now, and it's showing. You know, Zeke, I think in the last three games that he played, he had 399 yards and 5 touchdowns. You can't sneeze at that. That's pretty good. The last two games without Zeke, they've had a total of like 169 yards for rushing from the backs and 0 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So that shows you right there. Now, I know a lot of that is without, what's the big tackle's name that we just
talked? Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith. I know he will provide, you know, at least some stability with that.
Right.
But now the problem is everything is falling on Dak. And what we've seen, what we've always heard, is Dak that guy?
Right.
Can he carry an offense? And so far that answer is no.
Right.
You know, I know he's playing a little tight without that left tackle. But still, he's not making the plays. And that's the thing. Even when Zeke was there, he doesn't throw for 300 and 400 yards.
Right.
You know, he throws for 150.
And he hadn't thrown a touchdown since week 9.
Since week 9. So that lets you know, man, Zeke is the catalyst. If there was any doubts at who was the most special player, it's been answered.
Yeah, it's been answered. And a friend of mine on Facebook Live, Matt, said Dallas will make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, he got a season going on
Madden.
PlayStation. What's his record on PlayStation? Do they suspend on PlayStation?
Yeah, for real.
That's the thing. Yeah.
we got the Chargers tomorrow,
and that's not an easy task.
I think that's a winnable game.
They put up a 50 piece.
If Tyron Smith playing
50 piece.
I'm not worried about the offense as much as I'm worried about the defensive line.
You're right.
Because Phillip Rivers puts up points.
Is Dak Prescott Nathan Peterman? I know we'll get into that later. But is he Nathan Peterman?
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think he's Nathan Peterman. But
I'm
serious.
Right.
That defensive line, the defense that the Chargers have, I'm telling you, man, they come get you.
Yeah, two of those guys is sack masters.
Yes. So it won't be a cakewalk.
I agree. All right, question number two. D. Will. Hall of Fame great, or will be a Hall of Fame person. KG said in the interview that you can book this. Milwaukee Bucks power forward center player Thon Maker will be an MVP one day in the NBA. Your thoughts?
I need some of what he's smoking. Period. Because KG high as a kite right now. Listen, Thon Maker, he should have said probably a perennial all-star because his upside is tremendous. But as long as he's on a team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, a.k.a. the Greek Freak, he will never be considered as a MVP. Now, is he a good player? True, he's young. He came straight out of high school, which We don't know how he did that because the rules have changed.
Canada. That's Canada.
And that's the other thing.
You don't even know how old he is.
Thank you. Yeah. We don't know how old Thon Maker is. Thon Maker probably, he's 27. I guarantee you. He one of them Africans. You don't know how old he is. He don't got no birth certificate.
Hey,
you
they said Manu Bol was 50.
Hey, thank you.
So
Bol 72? I'm telling you. So, but well, that's the thing. We don't know anything about that. Is he going to be a great player? His upside and his potential is it's incredible. So I do like him as a player. But as long as he's on a team with the Greek Freak and he's with Milwaukee, he'll never be considered because Giannis Antetokounmpo will be the perennial all-star, I mean perennial MVP candidate, as if what KG is talking about. Yeah. But
maybe he got him mixed up.
KG wears jeans too tight. if y'all
maybe
watch,
it might not be in Milwaukee.
That's neither here nor there.
Right.
But if you watch Area 21 on TNT at night on Thursdays, Kevin Garnett is 7'1", and he wears his jeans like he Lil Wayne. He need to loosen up a little bit.
Loosen up a little bit.
Because it obviously is taking the blood away from his brain and he making these type
maybe
comments.
Maybe he think he and Thon make kind of favor.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it.
People do consider them within the same mold.
Yeah.
So he's probably like, I see myself in him, so I can see the potential. But other than that, I don't see it.
Well, we can fix this real quick. Hancock, do you play Thon Maker even in fan?
No. He never is on my FanDuel.
Okay, there
and this is his
close.
Second year in the league.
Yeah, no, exactly. And he's actually regressed from last year. He played better last year, and this year it seems as though whenever and you know teams when you look at a guy and you expect more out of him, and I think that's got to him because he was making shots last year from the perimeter.
And I'm gonna tell you what hurts. I'm gonna tell you what hurts him. The Jabari Parker not being there. Because
exactly.
That took a lot of pressure off of him.
Agree.
And that put him as the third scorer, and he's just standing there wide open.
Yeah. And Bledsoe ain't going to help that situation.
Not at all.
For him, because now Bledsoe has moved into the second scorer. All right, third question of the night. G-Money, we know you don't watch college football, or at least not a fan of it as far as watching it on TV. You do root for the Chiefs.
I don't know where this is coming from.
Your college football hate is evident.
Well,
but saying like I root for the Chiefs.
Well,
I picked them week one. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a great pick.
But they were playing well until you said they were going to stump. When you talk bad about the quarterback, they've been down here ever since.
Okay.
Ever since. You remember the MVP question you asked?
Yep.
And ever since you said that about Alex Smith, he's been Alex Smith again.
All right. Well, this is the question.
That just means I'm right.
Yeah. You put that thing on him.
Put that whoop the whoop on
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Kansas City has gone 1-4 since the 5-0 start. So, G, let me ask you what happened.
All right. Well, if you look at just numbers, they can't score enough. They started off average in the first five games. Averaging 33 a game.
Mm-hmm.
The last five, they're averaging about 19. I think they're getting, as I said, I don't know how long they're going to be able to keep up running this option style offense. And I think the league is catching up with them.
Mm.
And they tried to get, and definitely against the Giants, like they're getting too, they got too cute. Like, why is Travis Kelce running? Why are you running this, like this end around reverse pass with Travis Kelce? And you saw him hesitate and like, don't throw it. And he threw it anyway, and it was an interception. So they're trying to get too cute on offense. They're not doing what actually was working for them at the beginning, which was getting Kareem Hunt in space. And I think Alex Smith has gone back to being Alex Smith, to where he doesn't throw the ball down the field. He's taking sacks, and they can't use their speed as they were when they started 5-0. So. And signing Darrelle Revis isn't going. I don't think that's going to do much for them. They don't really need him,
right?
But maybe they think they have a problem in the secondary. I don't really think that's the issue. They have been playing okay on defense, but when they can't score, that just means the defense is on the field longer, and you're going to give up points that way.
There it is. All right, question number four, Hancock. I know we talk about this every week. And, well, at least the person. There was an incident the other night where a scuffle broke out and the camera caught Lonzo Ball walking away from the scuffle. And in the NBA, you can't leave the bench, but he was in the game, walking toward the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that, and what could someone perceive?
Yeah, he can't get fined walking to the bench. When I look at Lonzo, that didn't bother. That jump shot bothers me. Walking to the bench didn't bother me. When I look at him, I don't see a fiery guy anyway, so it would have been out of his character to approach it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, it would have been like, man, what are you doing here? You know, because he has no emotion if he makes a good play. He has no emotion if he makes a turnover. It's no emotion. He's just, he beige. He's just plain.
Yeah, he's stoic.
So, I mean, it would be
literally.
Like, it's like Steph Curry going pick a fight.
Oh, my God.
I mean, seriously.
That's true. They call him a punk on Facebook.
Oh, that's too much.
And I mean, that's too much. I'm not going to go and question his character. It's just his makeup.
Right.
And I would be more inclined to look at him cross if he went up to grab somebody. You know, I know a lot of it is just posturing anyway.
Yeah, they're not going to fight in the NBA.
Now, that Jackson ran over there like he was ready to do something. But you know, he kind of street.
Yeah, you can tell.
You can tell the real ones.
Right.
He came from the baseline all the way to half court and put hands on folks. The kid from Tech, from Kansas.
Josh.
I had a question about coach, like what happened with Lonzo. You heard that Luke Walton said, well, yeah, some other players have talked. It's like he was supposed to do something.
But right.
What was he supposed to do? And we have a league to where fighting has completely been legislated out. I mean, this isn't the 80s anymore.
Right. The thing is, you kind of want to see your guys have each other's back. You know, that's what you want to see, because they're going to come to his defense. Mm. No doubt about it. If something happens, and now I'm kind of cross-talking, but like I said, it didn't bother me because it's not his character. You see what I'm saying?
And what is he supposed to do? Go in there, like,
just go to make sure nobody gets a free swing on his board.
But here's the thing.
That's the thing.
Or just not be seen walking toward the bench.
Yeah, that
I can of all of that, but here's the thing. Let me throw it to y'all a different way. Lonzo Ball is in the news every 5 seconds, correct?
Yeah.
He runs over to that fight. Somebody might try to clean his clock just because it's him.
Ain't nobody gonna swing. Ain't nobody gonna swing,
but why run over there and put yourself in a position to where somebody trying to get some stripes off Lonzo Ball? Because, listen.
They ain't gonna hit Lonzo
Ball. They won't.
Nah.
They want to. But like I say, they ain't like fighting in the NBA.
Does that get anybody anything? I mean, to hit Lonzo Ball.
Nothing.
Would that get you anything?
Nothing.
Nah, I just, like I said, to see if he just would have taken 2 or 3 steps toward the fray and acted, you know, come on, guy, let's get out.
That's,
you know,
fake. I'm with Lonzo. I'm not finna be fake.
But it looked bad when he looked back at it
and was like,
and kept walking. It looked bad.
He was like,
it really did.
Man. And he said it
looked bad.
His interview afterwards, he was like, man, he's like, what I'm supposed to do?
It
go get in a pushing match?
Kyle Kuzma from Flint. He ain't doing that. Yeah. You feel me? And he light skinned.
I ain't saying, y'all. He did.
Hey, I'm just being real. Hey, and Brooke Lopez went to the. He went there when he ran toward it.
Well, he's 7 feet.
Yeah, thank you.
He said he better go over there.
He's still light
skin. Yeah. There's a bunch of light skinned brothers on that team.
The Lakers too light skinned.
Yeah, they
need to
too
trade
bright.
Somebody.
Yeah, they too bright.
They need some melanin on their team.
They need some thon maker.
Yeah.
Julius Randle is not enough.
Yeah. He got a lot in him, though.
Yeah, he got some. Yeah. Yeah, he'll fight.
Y'all on the team, man. All right, question number 5. D-Will, your boy Baker Mayfield broke down in the
interview. He ain't my boy. But go ahead.
Do you have an issue with his gesture?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. Because my point is, Baker Mayfield is who Baker Mayfield is. Just like we said about Lonzo Ball, your makeup is your makeup.
Well, let me before you go forward, for all who don't know what happened.
Oh, I was going to tell it.
Okay, well, continue.
Yeah, it all started prior to the game. Baker Mayfield is a captain. He went over to Kansas. And here's before I go off on Baker, Kansas, you done won one game. You have no right to be unsportsmanlike. First of all, Baker Mayfield went to the captain's circle and tried to shake the hands of the Kansas players. They stood there with their hands behind. You could tell it was playing because all three of them had their hands behind their back with their heads down. So they went in saying, we're not shaking their hands if they try. So he felt disrespected. He started We know Baker Mayfield is a fiery guy. He starts jawing the entire game. They take a couple cheap shots at him, and he goes over to this, at one point, and he decides to grab his genitals and tell.
Like he had jug itch.
Yeah, he had like he had a jug. He did it more than once. Like he was itching bad. Okay, and he told them to, you know, get off. You know, with the F word.
Right.
He dropped a couple F bombs.
Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes. That's exactly what he said. Frosted Flakes. So it was caught on camera. Now, the big thing is I don't have an issue with that because we know Baker Mayfield as an uber competitive person. All right. Now, was it a little cross the line? But we talking football. This ain't cheerleading. You know, if you heard some of the stuff that was said in a competitive football game, it'll have your eyes wide open. So I don't have an issue with him doing it. My whole issue is people justifying what he did.
Okay? That's
my whole issue is if this was, and I'm just throwing out names, if this was a Lamar Jackson or if this was a Jalen Hurts, if one of those type quarterbacks did that type, they would be crucified. And for Baker Mayfield to do it and everybody sit back like, oh, he's a fire. Saying what I'm kind of saying, he's a fiery guy. We can expect that. But then if somebody. I'm trying to skate around. I'm just going to go and say it. They did it because he's white.
They
period. They're covering for him. And I'm talking about the four-letter network.
He ain't the only one. Fox Network, all of them.
Exactly. They're covering because when a white guy does something on national TV, a la Donald Trump, it's covered for it. It's an excuse for it. When a person of color does something, it's a big deal, all right? So with that being said, I believe they're covering for him because of his skin color. And I applaud Sage Steele on the four-letter network. She came out and said the exact same thing I'm saying.
Right I can't now. Believe she said it.
She said it, and yeah. I can't either.
Well, she got enough Twitter haters to make her say that.
And then she's actually married to a non-black person.
Yeah, right.
So, but I commend her for being on that network and actually uttering those words.
I didn't hear her do that, but I'm glad you said that because I didn't hear that.
She actually said it. She said it if he was black. He would get way more
crucified.
Yeah. I got you. All right, man. That'll end our hot news for tonight. Great energy in the building, of course. So now we're about to jump into our super duper SRT Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the SRT Power 10. In this week's Power 10, we have Penn State coming in at number 10, Notre Dame at number 9, Ohio State at 8, UGA at 7, Auburn at 6, Clemson at 5. Now get into our top four. At number four, we have Wisconsin Badgers with 38 power points. Yeah, at number three, we had the Miami Hurricanes with 39 power points. At number two, we had the Oklahoma Sooners with 40 power points. And at number one, we had the Alabama Crimson Tide with a perfect score of 50 power points. Notes from this week's Power 10. Our top four stayed the same, with Bama, Miami, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin rounding out the top four. We had a drop from the poll, that being Oklahoma State, dropped completely out. New entry into the Power 10, the Penn State Nittany Lions. Big games this week in the Power 10. Bama takes on Auburn at Alabama.
That's at Auburn.
Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. It is at Auburn. At Auburn, and Auburn is a 4.5-point underdog at home. We'll talk about that, I'm sure. The other big games going on this week, Oklahoma has West Virginia with a Baker Mayfield not starting, not being a captain, and crying. And they're a 22-point home favorite. Miami has a trip to Pitt. Not much of a game, we don't suspect. They're a 14-point favorite. Wisconsin is on the road to Minnesota. They should take care of business and send them into the Big Ten championship game. Number five, Clemson travels to a salty South Carolina. Be careful in that game. I'm telling you now, be careful. 13-point favorite. 13.5-point favorite. And we already mentioned Auburn. Any of those games stand out to you guys?
I'm actually interested in Georgia Tech.
Okay. Wow.
This is the game everybody has already said. If Georgia either wins the SEC, they're in. But no one is talking about them losing to Georgia Tech.
Do you think Tech has a legit chance with them?
I think Georgia Tech has a very
because of the rival thing.
A very good chance of beating Georgia this
and they beat them what 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
It's going to be an ugly game.
You think so?
Yeah, I think the game starts at noon, and with Georgia Tech's triple option, people getting cut all day, it's probably going to be a low scoring game. I think it's going to be
and the thing about it is this saves Georgia Tech's season.
Yeah, no doubt.
If they can
upset Georgia,
their season is they may have a parade.
And I'm going to tell you like this. I believe it really is an issue for Georgia because I believe Georgia Tech is already in their heads because rumors are that their linemen are going to wear knee brace this game because they're concerned about getting cut.
All right, don't get cut.
So if you're going into the game concerned about being cut, that means you're going to be one step off worrying about that. So it may be something that Georgia Tech might be able to get over on Georgia.
Yeah. Now, I did mention the South Carolina game. You got any thoughts on that one, D-Will?
I believe it's going to be a game, but coming off last year and Clemson putting it on South Carolina so bad, I really just don't believe that South Carolina has the horses to stand up against Clemson. And if I'm not mistaken, it's in Clemson?
No, it's in South Carolina.
Well, it might be a little different then. It's a rivalry game. They are putting a lot behind it. If the quarterback, his name's slipping me. But if he can play decent and stay out of the way, and not make the key turnovers. Mm-hmm. They could, because I believe we all said it. We said it last week. Clemson is a bit overrated.
Yeah, I think if their front seven can do anything about stopping the run and make Clemson pass the ball, that's to me going to be the key. And when you play these type of games, reverses, onside kicks, trick plays, everything's open for discussion this week. And that could be, if they can just get some points on the board, could be interesting.
Now, one thing about it, South Carolina got the same motivation Georgia Tech
has. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Jake Bentley.
I knew it was.
So, if this makes South Carolina season, if they can upset Clemson,
right?
Knowing that, so if Clemson loses, do they still go to the ACC championship?
Yeah, they in.
They in. Okay. They in.
Now let me
ask
you.
They ain't got nothing to play for, but right.
The one. What about the Miami traveling to Pitt? Because that's a game that nobody's even looking at. But we know what Miami sometimes has been playing down to competition. And this might be one of those sleepy Saturdays. What do you think about that game?
I don't think it'll be a contest.
No contest.
No.
History says to watch out.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with
like
you.
Like, if you. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at.
They didn't have a turnover chain last year.
I'm looking at. if you go back to when Pitt played West Virginia, when they had Pat White in them, West Virginia, all they do was beat Pitt, who was like 4-5 or something, and they're in the national championship. They lost that game. And then, was it last year or the year before where Pitt beat Clemson?
Pitt beat Clemson.
And they were ranked in the top three. So Miami needs to watch out.
And it's Pitt.
Was that kid Nathan Peterman the quarterback?
Oh, man, stop.
When they beat Clemson, I think so.
Maybe he can go back. He got an eligibility.
Yeah, he needs to go back.
He can't play it in there, man.
He won't get another shot there. Yeah.
And you think Baker, when Baker gets in against West Virginia, it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah. Right? West Virginia lost to Texas last week.
And they
might get a bust of the week. But
they're without Will Griddish week, too.
So that makes it even worse. It's a game that has fallen off the map, that's anywhere near the Power 10 or has any implications to the playoff, and that's Florida State.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And I can't, but we have two of the perennial teams in college football.
And we're not even talking about.
Both of them are under five. Both of them are not bowl eligible.
And both of them might be looking for head coaches.
Yeah.
The only thing at stake there with that game is how soon after does Chip Kelly decide to become the coach?
Yeah, well.
He turned down Tennessee.
I heard he did.
Yeah, they got some conflicting reports. But Maceo says, shout out to Maceo Hurd. He's saying Clemson goes as Kelly Bryant goes.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to make him pass the ball.
You're going to make him pass the ball.
I'm telling him, I'm going to put everybody in the box and see if he can beat me deep.
There it is. All right, man, that'll do it for SRT Power 10. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got our main man from the Falcoholic, DW, will be calling in. Let's talk them Falcons, baby. Rise up. You listen to SRT Radio. SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Dad, I'm really afraid of what's happening with the economy. There's too much civil unrest, too much terrorism, and unstable global markets. I'm tired of riding the ups and downs of the market. It reminds me of 2008. I was caught off guard then. How do I prepare for the worst now? What'll I do if the dollar collapses?
You gotta stop worrying, son, and take action. It's time to think about a precious metals private storage IRA or an investment in silver with the Gold Silver Group. Like I said before, you insure your house, your car, your kids, and your life. Don't you think it's time to insure your wealth?
Call Gold Silver Group at 800-943-0834. Learn how easy it is to set up your own precious metals private storage IRA and how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. Gold Silver Group can satisfy any of your precious metals investment needs. Receive your gold and silver fully insured and privately delivered to your door. Call Gold Silver Group, 800-943-0834, 800-943-0834.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable. The UCLA players made their way home. Are you giving 45 credit?
You kind of want to give him credit, but when he tweets out like, oh, are the players going to thank me for helping them? If you have to ask that, like, that means people really don't want to say thank, even if you help them, because you still have to be a jerk about it.
Yeah. Like, who solicits a thank you?
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
What do Falcons do?
Falcons rise up.
Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
Sports Roundtable back. H.O. Sports Superhero.
Spit it out.
The Coats.
Yep.
G-Money behind the glass. And on the phone, he is the host of the hottest podcast on the network, as he's hosting the Falcoholic podcast. You also can follow him at Falcoholic DW, and he's our friend. And we got this thing back rolling again. Dan Quinn, Arthur Blank, send us a check, because when DW calls in to Sports Roundtable, this is how we do it. The Falcons are on a 2-game winning streak, and he's back again. DW, how you doing this day?
I'm doing much, much better these days.
There you go. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and also to your bar.
Same to all of you guys.
I appreciate it. All right, let's just jump straight into it. The Falcons wave cut, did away with whatever adjective you want to use, Jalen Collins. The question would be, what could the conclusion be for this move?
Well, Dan Quinn said it today. They lost confidence in him. The second suspension, I think, was really the straw that broke the camel's back, and they just decided that it was too much of a risk to keep him around. And honestly, I wasn't completely surprised. I think, you know, we know that if he had gotten suspended again, it would have been for a full year. And with a player like that, it's hard to invest in them for the long term, because there's always that looming possibility that you're going to lose them for a year. And you just don't want to put that kind of investment into a player.
Yeah, I agree. He had 10 tackles in the Super Bowl. Second half, he played much better than the first half, but couldn't provide anything for us this year. I think he probably could be considered a bust as a second round pick at this point of his career for the Falcons. So I guess Dan Quinn and the Falcons are moving on. Let's go to Monday night. The Falcons squeaks out a win with everybody in the city of Atlanta on blood pressure pills and things of that nature. But in your opinion, why did we win Monday?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I think it comes down to a little bit of luck and winning the turnover battle. You know, the Falcons got some key turnovers. They converted those into points. That ended up being a big factor in the game. And let's be honest, I mean, the Seahawks are a good team. Russell Wilson is a very underrated quarterback. They fought back, and they had an opportunity to win, and a little bit of luck kept us from having to go into overtime.
Yeah, a shout out to Debo for making that tackle when Russell Wilson was another 15 yards, and that could have easily been a 30-yard kick. So shout out to Debo for making that tackle as well. The Falcons lack some running game. Lack the running game this Monday. Do you think that they could still win if that trend continues?
I think it's going to be difficult. This is a team that loves to use the play action, and in order for teams to respect the play action, you've got to be able to establish the run somewhat. And I think if we're going to have success over these last six games, we've got to get the run going. It's got to be a consistent, steady factor in this offense. It has to be something that the opposing defense respects, and that will open up the lanes for the passing game. But no, if we can't get the run going consistently, it's going to be hard to win a significant number of these games to finish out the season.
I agree. On the phone, we got D.W. from the Falconholic. Yeah, he hosts the hottest podcast for the Falcons at the Falconholic Podcast, and you can follow him on Twitter at the Falcoholic, at Falcoholic DW as well. Why do the Falcons have so much trouble containing Russell Wilson? And Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator, back-to-back Super Bowl, so he practiced against this guy at least for 2 years, and they still couldn't contain him. So I'm just wondering.
Well, honestly, I think some of it is just Russell Wilson. He is very, very good at eluding defenders. And it's not just the Falcons. I mean, if you go back and look at other teams that have played him, some very good defenses that have played against Seattle this year, he makes all of them look bad. Now, one factor in this is, you know, the Falcons have shifted more to playing man coverage this year than, Dan Quinn's typical cover three. And one of the downsides to playing man coverage is that a scrambling quarterback tends to have more open lanes because guys have their backs turned to him. So I think that's a factor, but I think you have to give Russell Wilson a ton of credit. He's very, very good at doing what he does.
Right.
Yeah, D-Dub, this is a sports superhero. I agree with you. Russ putting that pressure on a lot of teams. But look, my question now with Tampa Bay coming in here, do you feel a sense of relief that Jameis isn't playing, or are you a little more, afraid of, what
the unknown
that Fitzpatrick can bring? I mean, he's a more stable quarterback, might hold the ball a little bit more to make the bigger play. Well, I won't say the bigger play, but make the right play. What do you think about that?
Well, Jameis has had our number in the past, so not having to face him is... I'll take it, and going up against Fitzmagic is, he's been up and down in his career, as we all know. Don't take the Bucs for granted. They've got some receiving threats that, the Falcons are going to have to deal with. Mike Evans is a very, very good receiver. You've got DeSean Jackson that can take the top off. You've got, O.J. Howard at tight end. So this is not an offense that the Falcons, can go easy on. I think if we're going to have success against them, we need to do what we've done the past 2 weeks, and that is to collapse the pocket and get to the passer. If we can do that, then we can help shut this offense down.
Yeah. What about pacing themselves on defense? Still seems like late game, second half, the defense is starting to leak oil a little bit. And, is that something that you see? Am I making more out of that than what it is? What do you think about that?
No, it's it is incredibly frustrating. And it is a trend that I hope we see get corrected, although it's been all year, so I don't know, you know, if it's realistic to hope for that. I honestly don't know what's at the cause of it. This defense can look gangbusters in the first couple quarters, and then they fall apart for one or two series in the second half and let teams right back into the game. So I don't know what's the cause of it. I do hope it changes, but given the fact that we're 10 games in and this is, you know, a pretty consistent trend, we may all need to invest in blood pressure pills.
There you go.
All right, we're talking to Falcoholic DW. You can follow him on Twitter. This is G, DW. Two-part question here. Now, it was previously mentioned with the running game, they only average about 3 yards a carry. What do you hear anything about the status of Devontae Freeman as far as if he's going to play the next game or not? And
Go ahead and answer.
I have a second part, but you go ahead with the first part.
Yeah, we heard today from the Coach Quinn that Devontae Freeman is still in the concussion protocol. My guess at this point is he probably will not play on Sunday.
All right. And with the second part, I feel like Levine Toilolo has been on the Falcons for like 12 years, and he catches a touchdown every other year. What is, I guess, I feel like the Falcons don't use their tight ends enough. As far as like trying to involve them in the offense, and maybe that would open things up for, I know Julio got 10 targets, but I feel like it would open things up at least to get him the ball or to get their outside receivers the ball. Do you have any explanation as what Toilolo and Hooper's role in the team is?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really good point. It's we saw a lot of passes to the tight ends out of the three tight end sets last year. And obviously we saw it against the Seahawks, and it was nice to see that, you know, even though Toilolo can't make a 3 yard catch, he apparently is great with 35 yard catches. But I think part of it comes down to the quality of the tight ends we've got. You know, Hooper is still in his second year. We've got a rookie in Eric Salbert that I think is going to need another year or two before he can contribute consistently. So honestly, I don't think we're going to see much change this year. I think it's, you know, it has a lot to do with who we've got on the roster.
DW, what's up? This is D. Will, the coach. The Falcons finally put up 30 points a game since week four. All right. They've been having trouble scoring. Last year we came off a year averaging over 34 points a game, and this year it seems like the offense has just regressed. Do you feel like they have gotten back on track and we can start seeing that high-powered offense and we can start seeing them putting up 30-point games again going forward?
I think they're closer. And, you know, obviously going up against a very good defense on their home field in Seattle and putting up over 30 points was, you know, pretty significant. That said, I still saw some trends that make me a little bit cautious about thinking we'll have the same offense as last year. You know, we still saw Sark call three pitches to the right to Tevin Coleman in the same series, which was a head-scratcher. So I think Sark is getting better. I don't know if he is, you know, a great coordinator yet or even a good coordinator. I think a lot of this is the players are, you know, delivering. You know, Matt Ryan has been on point, you know, for the past 4 or 5 weeks. So I do think we're going to see an improved offense. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, consistently putting 30 on the board, though.
Do you see any concern with having Tevin Coleman being the bell cow after last week? Or do you think we're loathing to get Devontae Freeman back as quick as possible?
I think we're a better team when Devontae is in there. I love Tevin Coleman. I love what he offers. But honestly, I think it's the difference in their styles that helps to keep this offense from being predictable. The two guys, you know, even though they're relatively similar in size and stature, they play the game in very different styles. So I'm hoping that we get Devontae back soon. It doesn't look like it'll be this Sunday, but yeah, I'm not. And don't take that as me knocking on Tevin Coleman. I love him, but I think we're a better team when we've got both of those guys going.
All right, on the phone we got host of the Falcoholic Podcast, DW. You can follow him on Twitter at Falcoholic DW. D-Dub, we talked about last year and earlier this year about how the Falcons will have to start trying to sign start to sign some of these players, maybe like a Keanu Neal, Matthews, Tevin Coleman, Deion Jones, Campbell, and things of that nature. One guy has stepped it up this year, and that's Claiborne. Is Claiborne working on an extension for the Falcons? Because we didn't bring his name up. Many people hadn't brought his name up as far as trying to pay Claiborne.
That's a great point. With the season he's had, I would be a big fan of trying to retain him. I think the issue we're going to have is, you know, he's going to ask for big money, and he's probably going to, you know, fetch a pretty good dollar on the open market. So I don't know that we've got the cap space to be able to afford him and also pay guys like Grady Jarrett, who's going to be, you know, coming up for a contract soon,
right.
Vic Beasley, Jake Matthews. There's a lot of guys that we're going to have to start paying. Matt Ryan will be in the last year of his contract next year, and he's going to get paid. There are a lot of guys who've got their wallets open, and we've got to be very selective. I'm not sure that Claiborne is going to be at the top of the list, even though he absolutely deserves to get paid.
I agree. The Falcons have 3 home games coming up. Do you think they need to go 3-0 to put themselves in the best position possible to make the playoffs?
Yes, honestly. You have to be able to win your home games. If you want to be a playoff team, you've got to be able to keep, you know, those wins at home. They've always said if you can win all your home games and you can split on the road, it makes you a 12-4 team. And that is, you know, if they're going to finish off and make the playoffs, yes, they've got to defend the home field advantage, and it starts this Sunday.
Yep. All right. Well, speaking of Sunday, let's go ahead and get your predictions, and I hope Arthur Blank and Dan Quinn is listening.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but they hear me on the radio, they probably turn it off. The Buccaneers, man, they are a team that is struggling. They've got Ryan Fitzmagic back there. Their defense is one of the worst in the league in generating pressure against the quarterback. They are 31st out of 32 in sack percentage. They've only got 15 sacks on the season. They're not going to pressure Matt Ryan, and when you can't pressure Matt Ryan, he will carve you apart. So I think the Falcons are going to have a nice win. Hopefully, you know, not raise our blood pressure. I'm going with Falcons 35, Bucks 17.
Woo! 35-17. I'm right there with you all the way. DW, it's always a pleasure. And I know we have been pubbing your Twitter account, but we will let you do the same before you leave. Go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you at.
Yeah, you can find my horrible opinions on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. The Falcoholic podcast is on iTunes, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and, of course, SoundCloud.
DW, we appreciate it, man, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Thanks again, and rise up!
Rise up!
Rise up, DW.
Thanks, guys. Rise up.
There you go, man. Falcon Report, sponsored by The Falcoholic.
There it is.
Falcoholic.com, man. Please go to Falcoholic.com, man, to get your latest update in news about the Falcons. And now,
hey, let me ask you something before you move on.
Okay.
The Falcons, Georgia Dome really was never a big-time home field advantage for them. I've seen the Dome crank up a couple times, been playoff, things like that.
That was artificial.
But this, it did pump in some noise. But this new Dome, new situation, that new stadium they're playing in, seems like it's just, you know, I went to one time, but it's so interactive, so much to do, man. It's like the crowd just is not into it, like, you know, to really give you that push, that home field advantage. Do you think it'll ever come in and turn into that?
Or? Well, we know the line ain't long at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, you got that right.
They're not even open.
Right.
So.
But it's just so much to do, man.
It's yeah, like, it is.
And it's Atlanta also. You got to understand the fan base that you're dealing with. Atlanta, they get excited for the tailgate. I'm not going to say they actually get excited for the game.
There it is. Well, there you go. The big body bins may be a curse at this point. We'll know. But now it's time to get one of our favorite segments, and it is time for your Ballers and Busters.
Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our Ballers.
Ballin'.
And our Busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Wow. Ballers and Busters, sponsored by Real Talk Tees. Got a shirt for every mood. You can get your shirt at realtalktees.bigcartel.com.
Yep.
All right. My baller this week, and I'm pretty sure we'll go unanimous on the Buster at some point. But I do also have another Buster that I could not turn down. My baller this week goes out to Rashad Penny, running back, San Diego State, 222 yards rushing, two touchdowns, a kickoff return as a touchdown, and a punt return as a touchdown. 429 total yards on the day. Rashad Penny might,
San Diego State,
might get an invite to New York.
I had a question about that. Is Rashad Penny related to your honorable mention Buster of the week?
No.
Because he was left off the Doak Walker finalist list.
Stop!
That's crazy.
For those who aren't aware, that the Doak Walker Award goes to the best running back in college football.
Oh, my God.
But he leads the nation in rushing.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And he's not on the finalist list. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, that's,
wow.
Well, they get a Buster.
Buster.
Exactly. All right, Han.
Yeah, my baller goes to the man who left the king.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Hello! Got to go with it, man. Kyrie is proving that the move might not have been that bad. 47 points on 22 shots. Was 5 for 7 from 3. Had 6 assists, 10 or 11 from the foul line. They were down 13 in the fourth quarter. They pushed it to overtime. Eventually, the Celtics came out on top to push their winning streak to 16 games.
Against the Dallas Mavericks.
Against the Mavericks. So,
not saying much.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that boy Lonzo shot about 1 to 12. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
irrelevant.
Anyway, Kyrie Irving, my baller of the week.
IG.
All right, my baller of the week. He might be the best receiver in the league by default, but still, he still goes out there and performs. It's Antonio Brown. 10 catches, 144 yards. 3 touchdowns. Nice. What was more impressive to me is not only that he did that, but I don't ever expect these Thursday night games to be any good. So he did that on a Thursday night against a decent Titans team. He's the best receiver in the league by far. Like the lead is getting larger and larger to me.
You think so?
I think so.
They just throw him the football.
That's the thing, though. They can just throw him the ball.
No, they could do that to Julio. They just don't.
Yeah, but watch number the guy down there in Houston. Nuke baller. Man, he make catches. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Watch him play.
He's in the conversation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's
wait till he gets a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm saying for real. Yeah, he gets a quarterback. My God.
I do. Where he's balling.
My baller for this week is the man right here, local. Kind of local, Nick Chubb. 15 carries, 151 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the big part is he became the second all-time leading rusher in the University of Georgia history.
Behind who?
The Stockholm Syndrome of Herschel Walker. And if y'all don't know what Stockholm Syndrome is, when you start feeling sympathy towards your oppressor. But I'm not even going to go there. But he came second all-time behind Herschel Walker, passing his predecessor, Todd Gurley. So my baller for this week is Nick Chubb.
On senior day. There it is. That's how you go out.
Wow.
All right. So I'm gonna give this is a buster you got to give out. Okay? You got to give out. And D Will, don't take it personal because the word Alabama will be in this.
Okay.
All right.
As long as it ain't Christmas Tide, I'm good.
Yeah. But South Alabama is my buster of the week. South Alabama loses 52-0 to Georgia Southern.
Oh my God!
Now,
go ahead.
For all who do not know,
yeah.
Georgia Southern has how many wins before they play?
Zero.
Yeah. You let a winless team
order what?
A 50 piece. Extra crispy. Are you serious?
Get that 50 piece.
Hold on, man. The coach, what are you doing? 52-0?
to a winless team?
Wait, South Alabama, they're FBS, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No doubt.
Georgia Southern is FCS.
Yes, no doubt.
So you got shut out by a winless FCS team. Was it on homecoming, too?
Like, my goodness.
So now you see why I had to have that bus.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, my bus is a crash gravel.
No!
I got to give it to him. Not Trump.
I know.
I'm talking about Baker Mayfield this time. Not Donnie.
Oh, my God. He said it's okay, though.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Donnie Suge Knight. Because he run the government like death row. He running the United States like death row.
Wow.
But anyway, I wasn't talking about him. Might go to Baker Mayfield, national TV. He grabs his crotch and says Frosted Flakes to them. So, I'm going with Baker Mayfield.
I mean, I have the unanimous buster. I didn't have an honorable mention. Right. So I'm just going to wait till we get to that.
Wait, go.
Okay.
I'm going to let all right. Either you or D. Will can flat out just flat
I'll
that.
Start.
Well, we
I'll
together.
Start.
Yeah.
I'll start. All right. So, clearly, our buster of the week is Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, great. You give it to him. You give it to him. Go with him. Yeah.
All right. So not only does he send out a fifth-round rookie quarterback to start over his previous starting quarterback, who was playing pretty decent. He had a couple of bad games. But not only did he put out this fifth-round rookie quarterback who goes out and throws five interceptions.
In the first half.
In the first half. Three of them in the first quarter.
Yeah.
In the press conference after the game, he says, well, you know, there were some things that didn't work out, but then you saw some plays that, oh, those are pretty darn good. Like, I don't know what plays he is talking about. I don't know where these plays were. He completed as many passes to his own team as he did to the other team.
Wow.
And he's also still a buster because he is going to start Tyrod next week. So he went right back to him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He had them alternative facts. That's what he had. Alternative facts.
I knew him.
Well, we got the unanimous. And since he went with the coach, I'm going to go with the player. I don't care how bad you are. You know that your team wears the same color jersey as you have on. Throw the ball to them, okay? It is Nathan Peterman. I understand you were put in a precarious situation. It was lose-lose for you. I understand. But I have to tell you, when you back up, you scan the field, your job is to throw the ball to the team that wears the same color jersey as you. And I have to go with McDermott. For him to go back to Tyrod, make the comments that G just said, and then to come out this week and to name Tyrod the starter again, you just contradicted everything you said about you saw exactly. Good plays.
Exactly.
Because if you had any confidence, you would have went back to him and gave him another chance. But no, you went back to Tyrod. Now, I am going to say this. I kind of got the feeling that it wasn't him that made that decision to pull Tyrod. I believe that came from the higher-ups. So if that's the case, come out and say it, because guess what? You fired anyway, bro. You're not coming back next year, so you might as well lay it all out on the table.
I agree. All right, we got a call on the line. Calling in to the SRT show. Caller, what you got?
I got my ball of the week.
Okay.
I'm really not a Falcon fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, but my ball of the week is the Falcons. We're going on the road and beating the Seahawks.
Hold on, before you finish, you got to tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Oh, my fault. This is Tay Harris calling from D. Will hometown, Montgomery, Alabama.
That's what I'm talking about. The gump, baby. I didn't know who it was. I just had to throw that out there.
There you go. So your ball of the week goes to the Falcons. Do you have a bust of the week?
Oh, yeah. My bust of the week goes to the NCAA on them slaying Tuskegee in the D2 playoffs. On the calculation error, they came in with a 9-2 record. They had one loss to a D1 school, but they didn't make the playoffs. Over two teams, they had two losses to D2 schools, and both of those teams got beat first round playoffs.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's bad. Hey, Tate, we appreciate you calling, man. We got to move on. We got to go to a commercial real quick. But we appreciate you calling in, SRT Show.
Spread the word.
There you go. Hey, but listen, the Ballers and Busters, again, sponsored by Real Talk Tees. We got to surf every move. Please go to realtalktees.bigcartel.com. But when we come back, we got some picks. And we got the second half of the show. You listen to SRT, Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
Sports Roundtable. First game in the Benzo, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Did it look kind of empty to you around the third quarter? Mm-hmm.
People had to get home, get ready.
No. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was the Los Angeles Lakers effect or the Miami Heat effect. It's so many attractions in the building that for halftime, they go do a lot of stuff. Halftime only 15 to 18 minutes.
Right.
They're not back in their seats by the time the third quarter starts. At the beginning of the third quarter, you see number red seats. I was like, boy, this is a bad look.
They probably waiting on Chick-fil-A, though.
They were standing in line.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
AM 1100. The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Okay. Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. Oh, no. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man a lead, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah!
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable. Thanks for tuning in. We are jumping into our second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in for the first hour of the show where we had it jumping, had the Falcoholic Report. We had some hot news, and we also had our Ballers and Busters along with our SRT Power 10. But now we're about to jump into one of our favorite segments again. And it's our main man who's on the phone. They call him Rain Man, but we call him Slick Money. Slick Money with the Rain Man Picks of the Week.
Are you ready for some football? Are you ready to win some fruit cups?
Those who are tardy do not get fruit cups.
Hey, we ready.
Well, get ready, because it's time for the Rain Man's Picks of the Week.
My main man is on the phone. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. And I will give you a shout out tomorrow to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. But my main man is on the phone, Rain Man, Slick Money. How you doing, sir?
What's up, SRT2? Happy Thanksgiving.
Yo, Slick Money.
You already know. Man, listen, you gave your picks. We gave our picks. We went 0-4, and it looks like you went 1-6, 1-5. Whew, that's a rough week for everybody. Everybody who betted the opposite way, congratulations.
I'm still over 500, so keep rocking with us.
Yeah, but that Army and North Texas game was a good game. It was a good game. So we go call this Redemption Week. So Slick,
Black Friday.
There it is. Let's go ahead and start off with your lock of the week for me.
Lock of the week. I'm going to go to the Charlottesville. Is that where Virginia Cavaliers play?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they are at home getting 7 against Virginia Tech. I think that loss Virginia Tech had against Miami kind of took a little sell out the win. I think Virginia can cover that 7 at home. So the lock is Virginia Cavaliers plus 7 at home.
Virginia plus 7, huh?
Yes,
yeah, all right, let's go with the upset of the week.
I got a couple upsets, so you can reap and pick who you want.
Okay.
But I'm going, where does Auburn play at? What's the name of that stadium?
Jordan Hare.
I like the War Eagles / Tigers plus 4.5 against Big Bad Bama.
Got Auburn plus 4.5.
Yes, at home. Now, I think Bama might win the game, but I tell you what, War Eagles might go and pull it out. I like the 4.5.
All right, give me your other upset.
The other upset, I like Washington State Cougars getting 9 against the Washington Huskies at home. It's at Washington, but I like Washington State plus 9.
All right, give me your blowout pick of the week.
Well, I'm going to the NFL, and they are on a roll. I like the New England Patriots. They playing the Miami Dolphins, and I just think 16 is the spread. It just ain't going to be enough. I like Tom Brady to put up about 48.
So New England minus 16?
That is correct. To beat up on the Miami Dolphins.
All right, you got some bonuses for me?
Yeah, I got 3 bonuses. It's going to be in the NFL for 2 of them, and one of them is, I think it's time for New Orleans to take a loss.
Okay.
One thing I've learned about the NFL is that you're due for a loss, and I think the Saints are due to lose this week. They're going to the Los Angeles Rams, and the spread is New Orleans getting 2.5, something like that, but I think the Rams are going to beat them.
All right. I got the Rams plus 2. Give me your next bonus.
My next bonus is going to be in college. I think Tennessee Volunteers is definitely done. They're playing the homeboys, which is my homeboys, Vanderbilt Commodores. I think Vanderbilt go to Neyland Stadium and beat Big Bad Tennessee Vol.
What's the spread?
Vanderbilt plus 1.
You mean the little sorry Tennessee Vols?
Yeah. Well, it's big brother to Vanderbilt, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, give me your last pick of the night.
The last pick is going to be the Minnesota Vikings on Thanksgiving Day. I think the Vikings are better than Detroit. I think Detroit got a favorable schedule with their last 5 games, so they're going to lose Thanksgiving Day, and they'll win out. But I like Minnesota Vikings to beat Detroit on Thanksgiving Day at Detroit. And it's Detroit plus 3.
So you got Minnesota minus 3 is what you're saying?
Yeah, Minnesota minus 3, that's
gotcha.
Correct. Gotcha. Detroit getting 3 at home, yeah.
All right, cool. Let me go back over these for you real quick. The lock, Virginia Cavaliers plus 7. Upset, Auburn plus 4.5 over Alabama. Washington State plus 9 over Washington. The blowout, New England, -16 over Miami. The bonus pick, the Rams, +2 against the Saints. Vandy, +1 over Tennessee Vols, yo boys. And I got Minnesota, -3 versus the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Day.
That's correct.
That is correct. My man. Well, Slick, happy Thanksgiving to you. I know you're going to be in them streets. I know you're going to be moving around, getting them plates. So you be careful, have fun. And before you leave, do you have anything to say out to our listeners and to anyone else who's listening?
Yeah, shout out to Jay Smooth, bro. I just dropped him off at Hartsfield. He's going to Memphis. So y'all just count some prayers up for Jay Smooth on a safe flight to M-Town.
There you go.
Six man.
Stay safe, baby. All right, Slick, man. We are holler at you, man. We really appreciate it. Redemption Week is here, so we look for you to go 7-0, man. And
not going
to
happen on that Bama-Auburn game.
Hey, man, we'll talk to you next week, bro.
Okay, dog.
All right.
All right, Slick.
Slick Money giving his picks, man. So I actually like the Rams pick, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah, I do like that. Washington State going to be a shootout. I think the over on that one.
I just hate going against Detroit at home on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about that.
Something about that game.
They've been playing that for 35 years. That's why.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's go ahead and go with our picks. I'm with DW this week. I'm going Falcons -10.
Ooh. Ooh. I think digits.
This is the thing. The last time the Falcons got on the roll, they put a 56-piece up on Tampa.
You think they're on the roll by playing a depleted Dallas team and a wounded, beat-up Seattle team?
Well, I think
Buccaneers wounded,
the
too.
The Buccaneers.
I'm saying, but are they on the roll?
No. They will. This will get them on the roll.
Okay. I think the Falcons are going to win. But I like Fitzpatrick at quarterback better than Jameis. I'm going to be honest with you, because I think he goes through his progressions and is not going to make those dumb mistakes. So that's what scares me more than anything, especially the way that Atlanta fades in the second half. That scares me.
Yeah, it does.
That's the only thing. But
I think coming back
10
home.
10 points is a lot, though, huh?
Yeah, I know. And listen, I'm with you with the Fitzpatrick. It's an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professional quarterback.
Yeah,
you know. Exactly. So I get that part, but I just think they are picking up steam and momentum, and I think this puts them on that roll, because I think a division game, mm-hmm. knowing that they got to go 3-0 at home, this gets them over the hump. So I'm going Falcons -10.
Okay, they got 5 division games in the last 6 games. Yeah. They got the Buccaneers twice. They got New Orleans twice, and then they got to go on the, and then they got Carolina.
Yeah.
Oof. All right. It came down to me for Penn State versus Maryland, or as we talked about, Missouri against Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And the way Missouri is putting up points right now, I'm going with the Tigers, man. Missouri Tigers -9.5 with the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Brett Bielema is on his way out.
Yep.
Arkansas played Mississippi State well last week, but I believe that Mississippi State had a Bama hangover.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe they came out one step slow, and they still beat them by 7.
What was the spread?
9.5.
And Missouri, like you said, Missouri puts up
points. Boy, they putting up points. Man.
Yeah, they are.
They scored on Georgia. So
they putting it up for real.
Yeah. All right, G, who you got for your pick?
First, I'd like to say, look, it was just last year that Fitzpatrick threw 6 interceptions in a game. So I think the Falcons secondary should get some work on the Jugs machine this week, and because I think the ball's going to be coming right to them.
Okay.
All right, my man.
Now, my pick for this week, I'm going to take the Steelers -14 at home against the Packers. They're still trotting Hundley out there, and they can't score. They just can't score.
Yeah. What was the spread?
He's bad.
-14.
I knew I should have traded Jordy Nelson when I had the chance.
Brett shut out by the Ravens.
Hey, man, I took him from my WR1 and put him in my WR2.
Yeah.
But I'm finna put him on the bench.
But look at these teams that were just so stubborn not to sign Kaepernick.
Yep.
Houston, Green Bay.
Yep.
Denver.
Yep.
These teams had a legit chance to make some kind of move in the play to get to the playoffs and do something. They wasted teams. because they colluded against this dude.
Yep. And that's why he should win this case. But, H.O., Tay said Peterman in Buffalo is a professional quarterback on paper, too. Well, that's fact. So,
yeah, it is.
So, we're going to see come Sunday. But my lock this week, I'm going with Ohio State. I believe minus 12. Agree. Ohio State has something to prove. They have a puncher's chance of making it into the Final Four. So I believe they really gonna put it on Michigan. They gonna put the wood on them to make a statement. And I have a bonus pick. Take Bama in them 4.5 points.
Give them up.
Give them up because I'm telling you, what Auburn does well plays right into Alabama's hands.
Mm-hmm. All
right?
hold your thoughts because we're talking about college football soon.
Oh, that's right. I forgot we got to get into our round.
Wait, you said Ohio State is minus 12?
Yeah.
On the road?
Yeah.
In Michigan.
That's a lot.
Right, Michigan is horrible. Yeah, Michigan, you got to understand, Michigan just lost another quarterback. Yeah, so they're going to be playing with somebody else behind them who we don't know.
That's the reason why it's minus 12. They don't even know. They say Harbaugh, he may even quarterback.
Yeah, they might run the Wildcat the whole game. So
it's Denard Robinson in there.
Exactly. So it's going to be tough for Michigan. They're going to put it on them real bad.
All right, to go over our picks, I got the Falcons minus 10. Hancock got Missouri minus 9.5. G got the Steelers minus 14. And DeWill got Ohio State minus 12 versus Michigan. And
14 is the biggest spread in the NFL that you're ever going to see. So that means they're going to really blow the Vegas.
New England
up 16.
New England,
New England, yeah, New England,
wow,
16.
Yeah.
On Miami.
You don't see that often in the NFL.
Yeah, I think I seen 17 one time.
Back when they had Moss, when the New England was killing people,
when they
couldn't put the spread up big enough.
Yeah.
They were covering it.
Yes, all day. All right, man, it's time to really get some talking in now. It's time to get into this SRT roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Sports roundtable discussion. Sponsored by Bobel Basketball. All kids, 6 and up. Bobel Basketball Academy is the place for you. If you're trying to get your son or daughter into some basketball skills, he preaches and teaches footwork. So please go see Bobel Academy. You can go to BobelBasketball.com for more information. All right, fellas, rivalry week is here. And the first question, college football. Which team has a better chance of getting into the four, Wisconsin or Miami?
When I looked at it at first, it was kind of tough. But the more I kind of visualized what's happening, I think maybe Miami. Because at least when I look at Miami, they have a defense that might be capable of slowing down the Clemson and standing there and maybe able to pull one out against them. When I see Wisconsin, man, I know every week I say, they're going to lose. And they keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they have the athletes to play a team like Ohio State. And I think the athleticism that Ohio State is going to bring to it eventually is going to be that deciding factor and keep them out of the playoff. So I would say Miami because I think the offense is capable of scoring, not in a great amount of points, but enough to win a game if their defense can, and their defense can actually score with the ball. That's the thing. They turn it over and they put it in the end zone a lot of times. So I would say Miami rather than Wisconsin if I was going to pick it.
And I'm going to tell you like this. My heart of hearts, I think both are getting in.
Really?
Yes, I do. Because if Wisconsin, I like Wisconsin. And I believe they're getting a raw deal. Because to be a Power 5 school, this year I am really, really, really not hung up on resumes. I believe resumes are overrated this year. Because if you break down everybody's resume, nobody has this overly stellar resume that says, oh my God, we have to put them in because they played this schedule. Everybody's schedule is just about the same. A Big Ten schedule is weak. The bottom of the Big Ten is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom of the SEC is terrible. Mm-hmm. We know about the Big 12 and Pac-12. So to say these teams in the ACC, they're not in any better either. Look at Florida State. So to say these teams have a better resume because they played this team or played this team, if you just make everything even and just say that Power 5 school, they played a Power 5 schedule. Wisconsin's undefeated.
Yeah.
So they got to get the props. And I believe if – the thing is, the reason I say I believe both are getting in, because if both went out, both of them are going to get in, especially Miami. And you could tell the committee is enamored with Miami by jumping them to number two over Oklahoma. Now, that might be a little bit of Baker Mayfield hangover. They kind of trying to give Oklahoma something because of that situation. But the committee showing to putting Miami at number two, they're starting to value Miami. And what was said about Miami all year? Miami hadn't played anybody.
Right. Now, I agree with you if they both get in, but I was saying that I don't think Wisconsin's going to get past Ohio State. That's why the question that I was answering, I agree with you. If they both undefeated, I think they both get in. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't – if I'm saying which one of those, to me, has a chance to get in.
Miami has a better chance Miami, against Clemson than Wisconsin.
That's what I was answering.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
But I agree with you on if they both win.
And I'm going to tell you, in Wisconsin-Ohio State game on a neutral field, I'm going to take Wisconsin. I really am going to take Wisconsin. Everybody raise their eyebrows. I'm telling you, I believe Wisconsin, because all they do is win football games. It doesn't have to be pretty. I believe we don't like Wisconsin because they don't have the sexy win.
They proved to me this week when they beat Michigan the way they did. Mm-hmm. They turned it. Now, Michigan hung for a while.
They did.
But
at the end of the day.
They turned it up at the end. Something about Wisconsin, I think they just.
It's Hornibrook. That's what it is.
Hornibrook, and they don't have really speed on the outside. They got a big back that can break some runs.
Because he showed it.
But I'm telling you, man, both of the guys are going to be up for him.
I got a question on Facebook. Facebook Live question is, who do you guys have in the Grey Cup on Sunday?
What in the hell is a Grey Cup?
That's
CFL championship.
Hey, man, block him. Block him. Block him. Don't you ever.
He was
Hey,
Rick.
Come to us with that again.
I hope you heard that.
You know, I don't know what team he's on, but Trent Richardson is.
Don't nobody care about him. Don't nobody care about him. He ain't at Bama no more. We don't care about him. He fell off.
You got to pay for them kids, man.
Yeah, that's what he got to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely got to pay for them. All right, so the next question. This goes back to a lot of what D. Will said in the beginning of the show. So let me put some stats out for you, because we are a factual sports show. And we definitely got to make sure that you understand what's going on. The Heisman Trophy winner from last year had stats of 3,500 yards passing. This year, with two games left, 3,200 yards passing. Last year, he had 30 touchdown passing. This year, he has 23. His quarterback rating is higher this year than it was last year. Yep. Rushing. Last year, he rushed for 1,571 yards. This year, with two games left, 1,287 yards. He had 21 rushing touchdowns last year, 17 rushing touchdowns this year. His average per run is higher this year. The question, why ain't nobody talking about Lamar Jackson for the Heisman?
Because we said it at the beginning of the year. It didn't matter what he did this year, that he was not going to be given the accolades or, you know, that pub to push him back up to be a two-time winner. It didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if his team would have been in the hunt,
that's the issue, right?
That would have been it. But see, they've already set a precedent that you don't have to be on a winning,
not at all,
national championship contender to get the Heisman.
Right.
So to me, this is just out of sight, out of mind. We're not going to put him up there, and that's it. Yeah. It wasn't one game early this year where he didn't shine against someone.
It was just on. It was on TV,
and it was on TV. And when he didn't shine on television, His Heisman hopes went right out the window.
And it's early losses. His Louisville took early losses, which derailed their season early, which took him out of the running. And like you say, last year he had so many Heisman moments. He didn't have any Heisman moments this year. He didn't have the 70-yard run with the hurdle at the end on national TV.
And to beat a highly ranked team like a Florida State.
Exactly.
See, that catapulted him early last year when he just dominated them.
And then he played very well against Clemson.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jay, you were going to say something?
I was going to say Louisville, they are 7-4 this year. And like you said, the wins, a lot of times losing games would hurt someone's Heisman chances, even if they had a good game. And this year, of the 11 games, 8 of them, he went over 100 yards rushing. And in, I think, half the game, at least 6 of the games, he went over 300 yards passing. So it's I think it's more of the
Clemson game.
Well, the Clemson game, he still threw for 317. It was garbage.
But
yards,
it looked bad.
But, still,
right, exactly.
But it looked bad because it was on national television.
Exactly. That's what
it was.
That's what put him in the garbage can.
So let me ask you, G, if he doesn't get back at least an invite to New York, is that a
it's a slight.
It's a slight. I mean, like with when Jameis Winston won it, the next year he was actually worse. That's why he didn't get an invite.
Right.
But this year, with him being better, like I think the Vegas is already like they have 3 guys already. It's Mayfield,
Barkley,
and Bryce Love. And you won't even have like the running back from Wisconsin getting an invite, and you won't have Lamar Jackson either. I don't think so.
Or the leading rusher in the nation.
Or the leading rusher in the nation, who I think he's a finalist for like the Maxwell or the. The other, like the Walter Camp or something that, but he can't even be considered the best running back in the nation.
Popularity contest, man.
Yeah,
that's what great. It is. Yeah. Popularity contest.
That's awful. So it's a slight to you, Han. If he doesn't go back, or a D Will, is it a slight that if Lamar Jackson don't get an invite, that's just like a slap in the face?
It's a slap in the face because he most definitely deserves an invite. True enough, his games in front of a lot of eyes hasn't been incredible like they were last year, but like you say, Han said it, you don't have to be on a good team to be considered, but when your team loses early and you have no shot at being a good team, that's what killed his chance.
I mean, is Stanford a hell of a
team? They didn't do anything the year he wanted it.
But they
I think they were like
9-3. Yeah, they were in contention
and
they lost
when he won.
Well, I'm saying they lost at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They losses didn't come early in the season. Like they started off 1-2. So it's like, okay, we're just going to kick Louisville to the curb.
That's a good point.
Yeah. All right, NBA.
We done with college football? Because I want to talk about Stidham.
We going back. I'm just going through the list. NBA, what has surprised you thus far in the NBA? And we are 18 games in?
Yeah, about 18.
About 18 games in? All right, Han, what you got?
The Celtics, man. The defense that they're playing, they're only averaging about 98 points a game, somewhere in there, between 94 and 98, somewhere like that. But they're holding teams under 100. And the defense that they're playing is the reason why. The young guys they got, man, you see Tatum and the rest of
Jaylen Brown
and Al anchoring in, you know, the middle, they're just shutting people down. And with losing Gordon Haywood early, you know, they kind of recalibrated and Tatum got more involved. It has accelerated his growth as an NBA player by having to play these minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times we want teams to build toward the end of the year and get better. And I don't know, you wonder if they're going to hit that wall and slow down. But right now, to me, they're the surprise. And I have to give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens. I know back in the day when we were doing that podcast, when he got hired and everything, we were like, I don't know about this. He's a college coach.
Right.
You know, we knew he was a good college coach, but how he would translate to the NBA, I know I had reservations. I think we all did.
Yeah.
But for what he's doing, man, and the way they're playing as a unit, and with Kyrie's involvement, Kyrie is actually one of the top-rated defensive guards in the game right now.
Those numbers lying, but go ahead.
It is what it is.
Steph Curry leads the league in steals every year, and we say he don't play deep.
But he's not. His defensive rating is not up there. Kyrie's defensive rating.
That's why I say those numbers are lying. Kyrie don't play no D. You watch the game and you watch him. He don't play no D.
He playing better D this year, D. I watch him all the time.
It's about position.
It's right. He's in the right places, and he's making the defensive plays. He's not a lockdown defender, but you and I both say nobody in the NBA is locked down.
Yeah, that's why I'm not giving him any credit. I believe he's on a great defensive team. In a great defensive system.
Whatever he was doing at Cleveland, it wasn't working there. It's working now.
Exactly.
So I have to give Boston is my surprise that I'd have to say right now. I go with Boston Celtics. And the struggling Oklahoma City is also a surprise.
That was my surprise.
That they just, I'm sorry, I let you take it.
Yeah.
All right, G.
Well, mine is it's the Knicks, the New York Knicks, that they're actually worth watching sometimes. You hear a lot of people say that when the Knicks are good, the NBA is a little bit better. So it's surprising that Kristaps Porzingis has just taken off this year.
Unicorn.
I think he's fourth in the league in scoring. He leads the league in block shots. And Carmelo was weighing him down, apparently. And Phil Jackson. they're waiting. It looks more and more like that every single game.
Wherever he leaves.
And we're in a time now, in the late 80s, early 90s, there were a lot of great centers in the league. And I think we're coming up on that time now with him, Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns,
Jokic.
Jokic, Nurkic,
we're
coming up on a time where these very skilled big men are going to take over the league. And Porzingis, he's up there. He should start the All Star game this year.
Time maker? No, I'm
sorry. Oh man!
I D Will, what you got in your surprise?
And it's kind of a segue from what G said and Han kind of mentioned. And mine is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Uh-huh.
Right now they're 7-9, two games under 500, and they're 10th in the West. So as of right now, they're not even in the playoffs. With the big three, and they made all the moves in the offseason. Now, I will say this, and the reason I say it's a piggyback off what G said, wherever Carmelo goes, it seems like they digress. We all understand that Carmelo is an all-time great in this league. There's no denying
that.
And
where he leaves from
always goes up.
Goes up.
So we're not denying Carmelo's impact on the NBA and what he did for the league and even his skill set.
Right.
That's not denying it. It's for some reason Carmelo is unable to play winning basketball wherever he goes. And I really believe that Russell Westbrook is going to have to go from let me get these guys involved to go back to his Kevin Durant mentality of let me just go do me and y'all get y'all. Because if you watch, Paul George is balling right now, but he's being overshadowed because they're unable to win games.
Right.
So I just think Russell Westbrook needs to go back to being Russell, and hopefully he will. But it just surprises me that with all the talent that they have, because if you look at the Oklahoma City roster on paper, they have every position covered.
Right.
They have a lockdown defender in Robertson. They got a defensive big man in Steven Adams. They got all the scoring that you possibly need with the reigning MVP. So it looks like they should be a very good team. But it's something just – and
it, what
I'm not going to put it all on Carmelo. No? I'm going to tell you one more thing before we go.
Okay.
Billy Donovan.
That's a big part of it.
Billy Donovan is unable. If they had Brad Stevenson – In Oklahoma City, I believe they'd be the best team in NBA.
Hold on before you go.
Go ahead.
Because we have to recognize this. D-Will just criticized slightly. Carmelo Anthony.
Slightly.
And he gave some very good points.
On what?
Without going in, but he was a realist on this situation.
I gave his compliments.
You almost didn't get them hair clapped. If you kept going. But all right, Han, go ahead.
When Oklahoma City was winning last year, Russell was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they brought two other guys in that need the ball to be effective. Russell's numbers, he went from 10 field goal attempts, I'm sorry, 24 field goal attempts down to 17 attempts. Mm. He's only making 7 shots a game now as opposed to 10 last year. His three-point percentage is down from 34 to 32. His free throws are down from 10 attempts to 6 attempts. So that lets you know now he's not getting in the paint and creating havoc.
Right. He's only shooting like 50%.
Line. He's shooting 71% from the free throw line, oh, and he was 85 last year. Mm. So it's not only that, it's in his head also. He's trying to get other people involved and not being what he is. He's not the consummate point guard that distributes, that gets everybody. He gets people off by getting off himself. And I think if Carmelo takes the Chris Bosh approach and caters to that, he has to take his game down a few notches for them to be effective. It's like we said, when we looked at Golden State, Durant was a perfect fit because he came in and fit what they do. He didn't have to have the ball. He didn't take them out of offense. But adding these two guys have taken what the most dynamic player they had out of his game, which allowed them to be Oklahoma City. They don't resemble Oklahoma City anymore.
Right.
And on paper, they like you say, if you run down their roster, that is a perfect roster. Like, it is set up well. But I really believe, like, in the NBA, your coach is a manager. He's not really a coach.
Can he go to Russell and tell Russell to be anything other than he can't?
Nope.
I don't think Russell can be anything other than Russell. What he can't.
He want and to be effective. Yeah. Right. He can't be effective and be anything but what he's been in the past.
You can't make him go be Chris Paul.
And that's the thing that we said when he was with KD. We was like, why don't he can't play that way and be good. Exactly.
You see exactly what would have happened if he'd have been like a fish out of water.
Yep. And that's what he looks like right now.
And they are actually... OKC is up 33-22 in tonight's game. But I want to at least shine some light on some of this stuff. Like, I think a lot of times we get caught up in names. A lot of times. The name doesn't execute plays. We look at the names and say, oh, they're going to be great. Same PlayStation. Chemistry and roles buying in, not something that you can actually see unless they play together. So when the trade happened, you know, I think all of us picked OKC, third easy, fourth easy in the West.
Our second, bro.
At least rivaling San Antonio.
Exactly. After Golden State.
Right. If Kawhi is back.
Now, after 18 games, early still, to your point, D-Will, it's early. Mm-hmm. But we going back to the lab now. Hey, we gotta change the narrative about this situation now, because what we see, to D-Will's point and to your point, is Carmelo, for some reason, doesn't know how to play winning basketball.
Ball stopping.
And to your point, Russ, the one that you don't want game to regress is. So if anybody, he's giving up more than anything than the other two.
Right. Sacrificing a little bit too much.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so that's not something that we could judge, see, and all this other kind of stuff, because we don't know the relationships and things of that nature that people have. So a lot of times, you know, when we make statements, we got to take the names and the brand out of it and just look at the player.
And I agree.
We would think that Russ will be able to get into the lane more if with these guys on the floor.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I think he's deferring too much.
And you got to understand, Carmelo doesn't stretch the floor a lot. He doesn't space it. Nope. Carmelo plays better within the mid post area.
Mid post,
you know, he can knock down the tray ball, all right? But he is really a
bullet
22 to 12 foot player, all right? And
That is the space that Russ needs to work in order to. And you got Steven Adams, who is another person who doesn't stretch the floor. Right. So when you got Carmelo and Steven Adams in the game, your whole mid post to the post game is cluttered. So to your point of Russ not getting to the basket and getting to the free throw line like he used to, somebody's cluttered. Somebody's in the way.
IG.
You can kind of blame Sam Presti for this because they traded for Paul George. They traded for Carmelo. And if you're building your team around Russell Westbrook, these aren't the I kind of question both trades from the beginning because these aren't the kind of players that fit with how he plays. Exactly. And what worked last year was him. Yeah, he was doing everything. But getting the other players involved, you need to space the floor. You need shooters. We know Roberson can't shoot, but they're going to let him shoot. He's going to stand in that corner and they're going to let him shoot.
He ain't going to get in Russ's
way. Right. He's not going to be in the way. They'll run the pick and roll with Adams. And then with Grant and or McDermott or Gibson, run pick and rolls with them, pick and pop, anything like that. But with Carmelo, like you said, he needs the ball. He's a ball stopper. With Paul George, he's kind of that way too. I mean, he can shoot, but I think what
Paul George spaces the floor. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, he's a legit scorer,
but
too.
He's gotta have but what he Westbrook get his needs, dribble, which takes at least six seconds off the clock.
If you want to build this team around Westbrook, you give him shooters, and then a guy who will run the pick and roll like Adams. Kind of how they built it in Houston with Harden. They have a bunch of shooters, and then they have Capella to run a pick and roll with him. So. That's what would work best with Westbrook. This isn't working because of their style of play clashes with his.
And I'm going to tell you like this. I believe now, I know we're harping on them. We're almost a quarter through the season. Now, I'm not saying this still can't work. I believe the system has to change, and that all comes back to what I said earlier, Billy Donovan.
But how do you change there a system with Donovan?
I'm going to tell you how you change the system. And this is what I would do if I was a coach at OKC.
Okay.
I would have Carmelo play a traditional four position. For today's NBA game, don't use you can use Steven Adams in the pick and roll, but use a 1-4 pick and roll, which is Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony. That way, now the middle is open because you're not telling Carmelo to go stand in the corner and space the floor. You're putting him in the pick and roll. Now you can run the pick and pop. You can run a pick and roll. You can move Adams. Now you just have to change your offensive philosophy because right now, what the offensive philosophy is, let's spread the floor. Let's put Carmelo in the corner. Let's put
George.
Robertson in a corner. Nobody's guarding him. Nope. Steven Adams on the block. Nobody's guarding him. So now all you have to do is pack it in on the pick and roll with Russell Westbrook and rotate, and there's nowhere to go with the basketball.
But, okay, you said the 1-4, you're still going to have George standing out on the wing watching the game.
Who is that?
Paul George.
Well, that's what you want. He's okay with that because Paul George, I'm not saying he's a dominant catch and shoot player, but he can play the catch and shoot role. All right, he can actually play that role. And when you do need to isolate him, you give him the ball and let him be isolated. So it's ways to work around it. And I'm also tell you, one of them might have to go to the bench.
I think one of them got to go. Period.
Well, I'm gonna say the reason I say I'm gonna have to go, maybe, but I say if Carmelo goes to the bench, it now and you put Grant on the floor. Now you can actually run a traditional offense.
Do you remember the press conference about 12, 13? Well, right before the season started, they asked him, was he coming out of the bench? He started laughing.
But I believe that'd be a better role for him.
I don't believe it's going to happen.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. But, you know, if they want to win, if he wants to win, they should.
Yeah. Pressy and Billy Donovan.
I believe Billy Donovan is a bigger issue than the roster.
Yeah, I can agree. All right, let's get to these weekend games, and let's go ahead and go to Jordan Hare. Auburn wins; they go to the SEC championship in a rematch against Georgia. Alabama wins; they go to.
Come here to Atlanta.
Not to the dome, but to the Big Bend. The big body bends.
Big body bends.
Thoughts on the game, B-Will?
Y'all already know who I'm picking. But analytically, it's going to be a good game. But the reason I say Bama has the upper hand is because what Auburn does well is what Bama defends well. They play into Alabama's hands because you're not really threatened by Jarrett Stidham beating you down the field.
All right? Because, and I'm not saying that he's unable to get the ball to receivers. I don't believe they have dynamic enough receivers to beat Bama's secondary. Because they don't have anybody on the outside that scares us. There's nobody we're like, oh, he's going to take the top off the defense. Oh, my goodness, he is. They don't have a Calvin Ridley, okay? They don't have a receiving core that Alabama has. Now, if the receiving cores were flipped, I would say Bama's in trouble because Calvin Ridley can get off. You know that the rookies in Jerry Jeudy, and you got a big receiver in Cam Sims. Auburn really doesn't have that dynamic of receivers that I would say, okay, Jarrett Stidham's going to hit them all day, and then once Kerryon Johnson gets to running the ball, it's going to be trouble. What they're going to try to do is they're going to try to hand it to Kerryon Johnson 25 to 30 times a game, and that plays right into Alabama's hands.
Where I see it is if Alabama was fully healthy, I don't think it'd be a problem. I think Bama wins this going away. I think with the injuries at linebacker, the RPOs scare me if I'm an Alabama fan right now. And that, when we say RPO, we're talking about run-pass options. And a lot of times these plays look like run, and everybody on the field might think they're run, including most of the offense. And Stidham pulls it out and hits a wide-open receiver in the seam, or just stands up and hits a receiver that's your DB might be playing off him 8 yards. He hits him, he makes one move on him, and he might score. The thing I'm saying is, I think with what Auburn does, it really kind of puts defenses in a bind. And that's with the inexperience at linebacker, that's what's scaring me for you, D. Will. We've seen Alabama in the past be able to get pressure with their front four. And this year I've seen them have to bring down a linebacker to come and get pressure and those type of things. I really don't think Stidham is that breakaway. He's not even the Mississippi State Fitzgerald type. Mm-mm. He will turn like he'll get a 5-7 yard gain. And that thing that he'll do is keep the chains moving. If they're getting first downs and going to third down and whatever, it's going to be a long game. And that's, to me, going to be the key. Watch for the RPOs.
Now, I will say this. Alabama did solidify their middle last week by finally starting Mosley at middle linebacker, the five-star freshman.
Number 16.
Yes. He's a five-star. He's the younger brother of C.J. Mosley. So to put him there and to have – and the thing is, they said he's always been ready. It's just physically he's been ready to play. He's just been unable to grasp because at middle linebacker at Bama, you have to make all the calls and you have to put everybody in the right position. That's why Sean Dion Hamilton was great. But – what I do want you to know is Minka Fitzpatrick will be back this week.
Yeah.
And for him being on that back end, he can make and help with a lot of those calls that are coming from that middle linebacker position. So I believe that doesn't worry me as much as it did if we had Keith Holcomb as our primary middle linebacker like we did against Mississippi State, which is the reason they were able to get 4.5 yards every first down. And the other reason that Nick Fitzgerald was able to open up. And like I say, Jarrett Stidham doesn't worry me running the football like Nick Fitzgerald did, all right? So, like I say, what Auburn does well plays right into what Alabama does well on defense. If this was, like I say, not trying to go back and harp on, if this was the Mississippi State game, I would see where your concern would be. But for what Auburn does well, it really doesn't concern me that much.
Now, let's talk about it like this. Auburn has motivation, okay? They're at home. That same energy that they had against Georgia could be there. The only thing is they're not playing tonight.
Yep.
Now, what flips this is Nick Saban is on the other side. And we know that Nick Saban prepares for games. So I think it will be a close game. It will be a dogfight. And it's something that I'm looking forward to. But Alabama has motivation as well because the Bama fatigue, national fatigue, is real. And that doesn't do anything but puts motivation into Nick Saban. And I think that when it all boils down, it's going to probably be kicking game, special teams, when it comes down.
And I hope that's not it. I'm going to tell you why, because Bama struggles on punt return.
Exactly. And that's the thing, because I think they will try to equal each other out offensively and defensively. I think special teams going to play a big part in this.
Well, I just wanted to add, I still have not watched the second of Auburn.
I've watched more seconds of Alabama. And I just think it, as long as it's not a tied game and Nick Saban decides to kick a 58-yard field goal.
Oh, Lord, come on.
I don't think Alabama is going to have a problem. I look at Alabama like I look at the Patriots. I just feel like they're going to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I trust them to be prepared and to go out and with a big game. They're just going to go out there and do what they need to do. So I'm picking Bama in that game.
I'm going to tell you like this. Bama does have bulletin board material that is really motivating them, because the stat that they're putting out there right now, and it's a very telling stat, but Auburn is 6-0 versus Nick Saban when they win 9 games in a season. 6-0.
It's big.
And they have won 9 games this year. So, and at 7 out of the last 8 times that Alabama and Auburn has played, when both have won more than 9 games, the winner of this game went to the national championship.
That's big.
Like I said, we'll see. But like I just, third down's gonna be the key, and I don't know. I know you said you're not worried about the linebacker position, but young linebackers, they can get out of position, D. That's all I'm worried. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, in other news, real quick, Michael Porter Jr. out for the year having surgery.
Get well, young fella.
The star recruit, projected number 1 or 2 pick in the NBA draft. Only played 2 minutes in college.
And this is Hancock's point. They shouldn't be having to go anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, there it is.
Exactly.
Brian Bowen, the star recruit for Louisville. Louisville announced that he would not play for Louisville this year. So that's another big blow. And in baseball news, the Atlanta Braves get the hammer put on them.
Capoletta.
Yeah,
Capoletta,
him.
Whatever his name.
He gets banned from baseball for life.
For life. Got the Pete Rose,
got
baby.
Got the Pete Rose. Yeah,
for life. So him and Pete Rose be signing autographs in Las Vegas.
I got more respect for the fact.
The Braves also lost.
They tried.
Cheated.
The Braves also lost 12 players that they signed.
Yeah.
Under what was going on. Yeah.
International
and,
players.
I think they spent like $20 million, so they lose that money too. And they lose a draft pick for next year. And I think that's it. I don't think they did anything.
Hey, listen, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. He was doing. So before we get off, we want to at least go around the room and say, what is it that you have to have on Thanksgiving? What is it, a must, that you got to have? Facebook Live, y'all can chime in as well. Me, turkey wings or oxtails, gotta have one of the two or both.
Turkey and dressing, baby.
Turkey and
you gotta have a little of that sweet potatoes kind of mixed in there with that pork. Just to get that little sweet flavor taste in that dressing.
There you go.
Oh.
All right, G.
Mac and cheese. I saw a video on Food Network. To where they put in, one, they put in mustard, which is, okay, this is already bad. And then they added in some roasted carrots and squash.
Oh.
And then they topped it off with dressing. You don't do that to mac and cheese. It's mac and cheese.
Like some of them scrambled.
Don't overdo it. Everyone listening, don't overdo it with the mac and cheese.
They're not from our culture. I guarantee you. They don't have that melanin.
Definitely not.
Yeah. All right, D, what you got to have?
Seafood dressing. You don't know, you better ask somebody.
Seafood dressing.
My mama's seafood dressing, man. I don't know, you better ask somebody.
Gotta have it.
Yes, sir.
All right, youngin', what you gotta have?
Fried chicken.
You eat fried chicken on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, there it is. The youngin' in here. So you gotta have that fried chicken. But Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to all. Of course, we gotta get up out of here. Shout out to all of the people who continue to support and listen to Sports Roundtable. Thanks for the Facebook Live. Thanks for Cuzzo coming up, showing out, and doing his thing. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Real quick, hand.
Shout out Will. Shout out Marty. Shout out everybody on Facebook. Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. Happy in Houston.
Shout out to my mom and dad, and I will see y'all tomorrow.
There you go.
Hey, shout out to my wife, and I want to give a happy birthday shout out to my mother. She passed 30 years ago, but her birthday was yesterday. She would have been 70 years old. I just want to say happy birthday to her.
There you go. Happy birthday, mom. All right, knuckleheads, you know how we do it. from the SRT crew, man. If you don't love it, you better. If you don't like it, you better learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. All right, Han, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me Coach because I teach you how to fall.
This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. BC. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
Baker Mayfield.
Ah! We out. Peace. Have a Thanksgiving.